Well, welcome to this episode of the Infinitely More podcast, where we celebrate what God is doing through ordinary people and how he's working in amazing ways. In fact, how he's working in ways that are infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. I'm Rick Scabuzzo, and I have the privilege of having a conversation today with three of the campus pastors of Grace Church, Joel Gregory from the Barberton campus, and David Black from the Town Center campus near Atlanta, and Matt Stone from the County Line campus near Seville and Sterling, Ohio, right? So it's great to have you guys here today. It's
arguably the best three-looking campus pastors on the pod. Yeah.
The best.
I would agree.
Maybe, arguably. But we're glad to be here, man.
Yeah. No, it's great to have you. Yeah, so we're just going to have a chance to hear their story and some of what God's doing at these three campuses. So I guess why don't we jump right into the conversation? And Joel, I'd love to start with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you landed in the seat as campus pastor at the Barberton campus?
Yeah, so it's about 11 years ago. When you threw this question, I was thinking, man, it feels like forever ago and yesterday. So 11 years ago, I started my career at Grace Church as an intern. Jumped into that over at the Norton campus, did student ministry under Greg Foote, had a phenomenal experience. I went from intern to resident, did that for 3 or 4 years, and then our Barberton campus had a pastoral transition. The planting pastor, Jeff Martell, he transitioned out, and I remember I was pulled into my dad's office, who's the campus pastor in Norton, and he said, hey, this is happening. And your name came up to just throw into the interview process. And it was like 3 days before Christmas, and I just had a baby. And it just was like all this stuff going through my head.
You had the baby?
I did not. My wife had the baby.
Just making sure.
Just clarify, Jess is a champ.
And I didn't know if I wanted that on record.
No. And so like all these things were going through my mind, and I thought, what in the world are they thinking? You know, I'm a resident. I've even been leading student ministry and stuff. So I said, okay, well, we'll just see where this goes. And I think in their minds, it was kind of experimental a little bit. They wanted to just give me an experience of interviewing and kind of walking that journey and things of that nature. And so they threw me into the interview process with a third party interviewer. And I kind of came out and was given to the Grace Church leadership to say, hey, keep interviewing this guy. And I think through that process, as I was walking it, I was also walking with my wife and processing, do we want to be in Barberton? Is God calling us to this? Or are we just getting interviewed? Or like, what is going through our own minds, you know? And very clearly, doors just kept opening. And, you know, when I tell people, they'll ask me, like, how'd you know? And what, you know, there was no like lightning bolt moments or angels from the sky. It was just doors opened. And we just kept walking through. And so we kept doing that. I had the chance while interviewing to preach at Barberton several times. And I remember as I was interviewing for the job, there was a lady there. Her name's Sue Zollinger. She is an awesome lady, faithful, loves the Lord. She came up to me one Sunday after I was done preaching. She said, hey, have they ever thought to ask you to come here? And I thought, you have no idea what's going through my mind right now because I'm actively interviewing for that. And so I would say this, you know, we walked through the interview process with Pastor Jeff and the rest of the leadership of Grace. And I don't know what your guys' experience was like, but that was both intimidating and humbling. Like, I just remember being like, they're asking me questions and processing things that I've never processed before. And so I walked through that, and they said, hey, we want to invite you into being the campus pastor of the Barberton campus. And it was incredibly humbling and honoring. It was, you know, as a young guy that was a resident being invited into that role, there was a lot of weight inside of that, but it was very humbling and honoring. And we grew to love what was happening at the Barberton campus and the people of Barberton. And so it was just a very God opening doors, people at Barberton, also, I think maybe sensing what God was doing. And then by the grace of the Lord, you know, he led the Grace Church leadership to invite me in. And we've been there 6 years now, and it's been an absolute blast to run the journey. So, yeah, that's how I ended up at Barberton.
I actually remember that process.
Yes,
I was part of it.
Yes.
And you left out some important parts.
Oh, no.
So I remember literally, you talked about a third-party interviewer. I remember being a part of that, and there were several pastors from around, I don't know, the region that they identified and interviewed, and they came back to us and they're like, we think Joel's your guy. you know, after interviewing a bunch, they're like, we think Joel's your guy. So that was pretty cool just to see that.
Yeah.
See that happen. And I remember another thing you mentioned there. I remember Jeff being particularly struck by your love for the people of Barberton and your just your desire to serve them. It was like, I think between those two things, between that third party, you know, interviewer and your love for the people of Barberton, he's just like, he's the guy.
Yeah, let's see where this goes,
yeah,
right?
Let's see where this goes.
It's been a blast. And yeah, I would say, yeah, God has been very gracious in that. I think the people at my campus, at the Barberton campus, man, they are just some amazing people. And I think every campus can say that. We have amazing people around Grace Church. They were resilient, gritty, willing to do the hard stuff in the midst of transition. And, you know, they welcomed me in, and it was neat to lead alongside of them. It wasn't simply me coming in and saying, okay, now we're going to be able to do stuff. They had been leading for 9 months in between a transition. So, it was a fun journey. I look back now and I think, wow, it's been a while since that moment, but it's been great. So, yeah.
It has been. It's been a joy to see God at work there.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm.
David Black.
Yeah, man.
How about yourself? Tell us the story of how you landed as a campus pastor at the Town Center campus.
I think my favorite word you used, Joel, was experimental.
Yeah.
I think that's there's a word. We'll find a theme maybe in our conversation.
I
here.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
It's real, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about exponential. Let's talk about experimental. For my wife and I, we are both originally from Georgia. And so we had just gotten done serving about 12 years in Ohio. Didn't know anybody in the Grace Church Network, which is kind of odd that we were up here for that long, but ended up going back to Georgia to be part of a revitalization work of a fellowship church. So our bigger family, if yeah. outside of Grace Church as a whole, but still kind of the same beliefs. And there was a church there, and our background was in church planting, and so some of the challenges were the same. And kind of got through the first 6 months, and a friend of mine invited me to a dinner, which happened to be in Atlanta, but Rick was there. I think Ryan was there. Brad Dietzkrieg was there.
Yeah.
A couple others. And I was just a fly on the wall because I was from Atlanta and it was free food, you know. And
amen.
I remember standing in line at this restaurant where you go get your food up front and then go sit down. And Rick's standing next to me. He's like, so tell me about, you know, what's going on. And I think I said, yeah, we're this church that's trying to get back off the ground, and we have a paid-for building and trying to look for what's next and who's going to help us do that. And all Rick said was, oh, really? You know? And on this side of it, I'm like, well, I just kind of teed that up for him. But that was it. Honestly, we talked that evening about what they were there for, and 2 weeks later, I got an email from Rick that said, hey, would you like to talk to Jeff? He'd love to hear what's going on. And so that preceded a trip up, kind of similar to what you were saying, Joel, a lot of talking and meeting different campuses. And I remember two things specifically. One, I was heading up on the plane, and Atlanta's a lot of big churches. Mm. And I remember thinking, I don't know where this is going, but if this is just another big church, I think we kind of got that taken care of. Mm. But what I found was a people committed to reaching the lost and discipling people. And that's not to say that doesn't exist in Atlanta, but it was really that heart more than anything else that kind of grabbed me. And the second thing was people kept asking me, what do you think? What do you think? And I came up on a Tuesday. I met with Jeff on, I think, Thursday. So I didn't even know why I was up here. You know, I think Ezra was like, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know why I'm here, man. Like, what do you know? And then Jeff sitting down and going, hey, what would it look like to do this together? Would you be open to that? And for me personally, it was like, yes. Like, why would we not work together? And then for our church, it was a process of like pastoring them through that. But looking back, I think God's hand is all over that. Yeah. You know, you'll often hear our movement talk about a Macedonian call. And as somebody like not being Paul in the dream, I think I'm the man going, hey, come help us, please. And that's been our experience ever since. So
That's unreal.
Yeah, I remember those days too, and it's just it was fun to kind of walk through that. And I remember also not feeling like this clear, crisp objective. Yeah. You know, it was more like, what's God doing, and should we what's the path here that the Spirit's leading, and let's just walk down that path and see what He does with it.
Yeah.
Did you know, like, after that conversation with Jeff, that was like, okay, we should go this direction, or?
Yeah, without going into it.
Yeah.
Like, there was some pretty big God things that happened to get us to Atlanta. Hmm. And there was like a moment in that church history, which they would know very well, where it was, you know, we either have runway or we don't. Yeah, and God came through in a big way that was very clear. Huh. And I just remember thinking, okay, now who's going to help us come do that? Okay. That was before I ever ran into any of this. And so I felt like I don't know, you learn. I think if you walk with God long enough, you kind of learn how he speaks to you. Mm-hmm. And not in like a super spiritual way, but just, yeah. And I really felt like that was a, okay. Yeah. Like, yes.
That's cool. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's cool.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah. Thanks, David. How about you, Matt? Matt Stone.
Yeah. Well, how much time do we have?
Well.
You know, we've been part of Grace since about 2012, and we were at the Norton campus at the time. And so your dad might be a common thread here. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of common threads going on right now. Yeah, that's awesome.
But we were involved at the Norton campus, and sometime after that, Pastor Jeff and Heidi were actually opening up a gym, and that's how we had met them, is through the CrossFit world and working out. Not so much Jeff, more so Heidi. We were working out, and they'd opened this gym, and so we naturally became a part of the gym and saw an awesome mission opportunity there to help people know and understand Jesus, right? And that kind of happened in 2015, and with that, some things were going to change. So I remember going and visiting your dad, and I'm like, we're not really going anywhere. It's going to look different on Sundays. We're not disappearing. We're going to be part of the family up here, serving in a different way. And he looked at me, and it was really a gift from God. It's kind of prophetic in a way. And he's like, yeah, I knew you guys were going to go on to do other things. And I never, it didn't hit me in that moment. That happened years later. I look back and I still remember that moment.
Wow.
But so we got to go up and be part of that gym, and the ministry at the gym is very unique and kind of outside the box. And people came to know Christ. What we would do is we would work out on a Sunday morning, and then we would streamline Bath's messages in. Cool. And out of that kind of birthed biblical community and Bible studies, and we baptized, I don't know, 50 some people through that. And it was just a fun and really unique time. And we would then, in part, help people get plugged in on Saturday nights, like at the Bath campus or Medina East, things like that, plugged into the local church. Wow. COVID kind of slowed that down a little bit, right? And Grace was planning a campus literally about 3-4 miles from our house out at County Line. And so we found ourselves drifting that way as things at the gym kind of got upended and really closed for a decent period of time. We found ourselves out at County Line. And I just remember just doors opening. I think you used that phrase, Joel. And before all that, I was really wrestling with what does this look like? I felt a burden on my heart. Crystal would affirm that. And I remember Jeff telling me, he's like, you know, you need to take kind of a long vacation and go be with your family and just pray, spend some time in prayer, talk to the Lord and see where this is, where this thing's going. Cause I'm like, I've been a farmer and a business owner most of my life. Yeah. But I have this burden that I can't really explain. And I don't know where it's going. And I think it's more than what we're doing now. But what does that look like? Yeah. And I remember being out west And Crystal tells this story. My wife tells this story so much better than I do because she said, Matt, you literally jumped out of the truck. You were on a mission and you left us. We were going on a hike and you just kind of ran up the mountain. We didn't know where you went. And I don't know, I can't really explain that, but it's funny when she tells it, right? But I remember on this hike, just coming to this point in the hike and overlooking this river that was flowing in two different directions. And it wasn't, the skies didn't open. It wasn't this audible voice from the Lord, but he placed on my heart Isaiah 55. And he's like, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways are far above that. And I just, I felt in my heart, it was a very emotional moment, very moving moment. I felt in my heart, like he's kind of calling me to do both, to just keep walking through doors that open and being faithful in that and keep doing kind of this over here vocationally. And I don't know why that was so hard for me and why I wrestled with it so much. I just was like, oh, it's got to be one or the other. Well, a couple years went by, right? And we're at the County Line campus and we had been invited into that community and we knew a lot of people from the community and just got, you know, jumped right in. We were, you know, got invited to lead Bible studies and, you know, got invited to teach there, several times. And, it wasn't in my timing, it was in God's timing, but you know, the opportunity came and that there was a transition, as you mentioned, Joel, at that campus. And I remember from about 2018-19 on, as I was really wrestling with this, my brother spoke into this. My brother's a pastor and a missionary in the Dominican Republic. And he's like, you just got to kind of quiet your heart and mind, continue to be with the Lord. The same Lord that gave you this word is going to lead you through this. And just walk through the next open door. You just keep being faithful and walking through the next open door.
That's great advice.
And he's like, when you are asked, you'll know it. And so there was a, you know, there's a transition there. And I remember the elders calling a meeting, inviting Crystal and I into that and kind of asking the question. And Pastor Jeff was there, your dad was there. And they had kind of asked me as well. And I remember the emotion that came over me in that moment. I'm like, here's that moment my brother just talked about.
Wow.
I want to say no, but it's not coming out. And then you have your brothers in Christ that are sitting around affirming this and asking, like, this is what we see God doing. We believe that you're a part of it in this way. Do you feel and sense his spirit asking that same thing of you? And it was a moment that I'll never forget. And I'm like, yes. Oh man, I wanted to say. And so that was, you know, several years back, and been there ever since. I love the people of County Line. It's the unique rural area, and there, a lot of them are neighbors that have been around for years, you know, and that I've known for years. So God just, that burden makes so much more sense now.
So that's great, man. It's been a joy to see you make that transition. I know you didn't mention it, but you're actually kind of doing the role part-time, so to say, in a way, right? Where you're still running the farm and being a part of the farming equipment business while at the same time being a campus pastor. Maybe just give us a short version of that. What's that like, carrying that load?
Well, how much time do we have? No, it really is a joy. And, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was a different transition right away, because you know, so there is a burden there, and you want to be in step with the Spirit and what God's calling you to, and at the same time you're like, I don't know, I'm still doing this over here, right? And you know, Greg Foote came along, and he is an incredible, he and his wife are an incredible blessing to Crystal and I, and have really made that transition so smooth. He, I feel like so much like he's, you know, my right hand in a lot of ways. He sees things that I don't, and is able to facilitate some of the things behind the scenes in a great way. So it's really been an incredible blessing to have him a part of that, and made that transition so much easier. But after sitting in the seat for a little while, I will say this, part of it was just being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And continuing to watch God move and in unique ways that are far beyond us.
Yeah.
You know, people surrendering their life to Christ, being baptized, the community growing in a way. And you're like, oh yeah, God, you're doing something here that is way beyond us. Yeah. Forgive me for thinking that it was somehow about me.
Greg told me that you guys have meetings in the combine sometimes.
We do. He's super flexible. It's one of the things I love about him. We do meet in the harvester and in the tractor, and staff meetings look different than probably on any other campus.
Oh, that's great.
It's the gift of being out in the country.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, I've known all of you guys as you went through those transitions you just explained. And but it's just cool to hear you tell the story and know how God has led you, you know, purposefully and specifically into the role you're in. It's so clear to me that the hand of God orchestrated that. So it's a joy to have you there. How about, I'd love to hear just ways in which you see God at work at your campus. What's tell us at least one story, maybe, you know, a life that's been changed, or some way in which you feel like God has been at work recently. You want to,
For us, maybe to pick up where I left off a little bit. So I started, and then 3 months later, 2020, and the COVID era hit. So I remember looking around, probably like we all did, and being like, so what do we do next? Or like, what's this mean? Or what's going to happen? And so through that, you know, I don't know many people. I can't meet with people, all that stuff. And I remember there's a guy from the campus, kind of as things started to break a little bit that first summer 2020. And we'd walk around Lake Anna, you know, kind of the staple of Barberton. So we were walking around Lake Anna talking, and I was like, man, I don't know what to do next, or what do we, this and that. He just looked at me and said, what if we just started praying? I was like, no, it can't be that. It's got to be something, you know, more. We got to fit. He's like, what if we just started praying and seeing what God does with that? And I was like, gosh, okay, yeah, let's do it. And his encouragement led us to start praying on Zoom every Wednesday at like 6 or 6:30. And just a number of people, faithful people, just came, like Steve, Dwayne, Ken, Doug. There's names that are still around that were a part of that, and really just started praying for our campus, our community. And when I went to the Barberton campus, one of the things that I was really passionate about, you mentioned this, was loving and serving and reaching into the community of Barberton, and really trying to kind of build a kind of a center of, we're for Barberton. We wanted to be in the community, so they knew we were for them. And in our community, being there and being present and being consistent is really important to people. They need to see that to build trust. And so I was like, let's go after it. And so we started just praying for things like that in the camp's community. And I would say what started then, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen the ripple effects of that.
Yeah, wow.
And I think that helps me when I look back at what God's done, and I just think about how often I like to plan before praying, or planning is my prayer, and really how God a lot of times wants us to slow down, be with Him, pray, and then through that, I think He starts to show us where to be, and He shows up. And so of recent, some of the stories I would celebrate, maybe I'll be a little probably broader or more general, but we're seeing people from our community and in a lot of ways from our neighborhood just showing up every Sunday, students on Wednesday and Sunday night. We have people that are walking to our building because they live that close.
Wow.
I have two high schoolers, Brooklyn and Jacob. They walk every Sunday to our campus, and they have brought family members and they all come, you know, so it's like seeing God bringing people that are a part of the community. We have a group of eighth grade middle school boys that are in the middle school, and we've been praying about the schools and how we can be participants inside of the school's life, and they're inviting their friends and they're just doing some really neat things. And so I would say it's probably more general, but we're incredibly excited about how God's invited us into our community of recent, and the ways that He's allowed us to see life change and conversations and Jesus moments to happen inside of that. And So I would, and I would say, probably one story to summarize that. This last winter, I guess, Super Bowl Sunday, we had a middle school party at the YMCA, and it was nuts. And none of the middle schoolers watch the Super Bowl. They just play games and eat pizza, you know, so it's a blast. But one of the moms stopped Xavier, who happens to be our resident there, and said, "Hey, who's putting this on?" And he's like, "Well, this is, you know, Grace Church Barbican Campus, and we're, you know, this and that." She's like, "Wow, you guys are everywhere in the community. Like, no matter where I'm at, there's someone or something happening, and it's tied to, you know, this or that." And I'm like, "That's really cool." And it's not I think it's a testimony of our people, Spirit of God, what He's doing and how our people are living out life in organized church ways and then just in organic life ways. And so I think that's the thing I celebrate, is how God is using our people to reach the community we happen to be in. Yeah. And yeah, it's been fun to watch over the last couple of years. The last several months, we've seen some really cool fruit from that. So. Yeah.
But when I think of, you know, I think of Grace Church, we often talk about the movement of Grace Church, the 30 and 30 movement. That's it right there, isn't it? Sending people out into the neighborhood and middle school kids going to school and inviting their friends. That's it right there.
They're doing it. It's inspiring to watch.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, when you watch like middle school, high school, young adults doing it, you're like, let's go. And it just gives you a new, I think, energy and passion when you see the next generation grabbing a hold of God's word and the gospel and wanting to see that multiply. So it's just, we're just in a fun stage right now, seeing some of what God's doing in our next generation's lives. And so it's fun. Yeah, we're having a blast.
David, how about you?
When I think about our context, Town Center is literally at the center of like a commercial district area. Yeah. We're a mile from KSU, which is like 50,000 students, maybe 55 this year. And so one of the first things that I think I just see where I see God moving when you walk into our campus is the diversity of people who He's kind of brought there. Old, young, different backgrounds, different walks of life, different nationalities. And that in itself kind of creates a, what is this? Like, I've heard that across the board from young, old, like, hey, who, like, where, explain this, right? And I think across our movement, right, the people of God are a fancy word, apologetic, right? They are, hey, here's the reason. Like, what is this thing? More than, you know, everyone has questions, but just what is behind this? And so that plays out in a lot of different ways. Our young adults, like everybody's, I feel like in this moment in time, is they're growing, baptisms, families coming to the Lord. We say, you know, one of our values is, as Grace Church, is we live to make Jesus make sense. And so at our campus, we say Jesus makes sense when you look into Him for yourself, when you allow Him to speak for Himself, but you don't do that by yourself. And so if I think about life change at a college level, at a Power Kids level, I think every story I could think of has has that part of it. But I'll just, because you asked for one, I would ask you to pray for a guy named Larry. Larry is, he grew up Jewish in New York City, relocated to Atlanta. He's a neighbor of one of our people, and he's one of their three, right? And Larry came because he's dying from pancreatic cancer, and it's not gonna change, barring a miracle, right? He knows that, but he comes in, and it's funny because he'll walk in the door. He's a little he's shorter, but like shorter gray-haired guy amongst a bunch of college students, you know, and he comes up and people are like, "Larry, it's good to see you," you know, and he just keeps coming back. And he'll make it a point to find someone and connect. And he's got the realization of a man who's on borrowed time. And he goes, he'll say it. He'll say, I don't know what it is about this place. But I just need to keep coming.
That's amazing.
And I think he means the people. I definitely think he means the gospel. And I think God's working his heart. So just keep praying for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredibly cool.
That's cool.
You guys have been through like a wild couple years here.
It's been great.
And all the Town Center people listening are like, yes.
Yeah.
What do you think God's done through that? You talk about young adults and stuff, but is there like a big thing kind of over the last couple years of going through the stuff you guys have had to navigate?
For people who don't know, we spent a year in a tent.
Yes.
Because our building filled with gross stuff.
It was crappy,
and
man.
It was stinks. And I don't want to... That's a different podcast, right?
It is.
On its own. But here's what I would say. Jeff says it all the time. And if you've been around Grace, you've heard it. The secret sauce of Grace Church is the willingness of people to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, of Grace Church's people to do that. What came out of that was a group of people. It really solidified us as a campus. Mm-hmm. But our volunteers, the people who are the workers and doing the ministry. Man, I feel like God put a sense of urgency and unity that doesn't come from any other way.
Yeah.
And so this is 100% true. I don't know if I would have said it 6 to 12 months ago, but if you said you got to go through that again, I'd be like, yeah, but it's worth it. I would do it again.
Wow.
We'd do it again just for that. So,
well, David, you led incredibly well through that. I know it was a huge challenge, and you know, those kinds of times, I think a church, it's easy for people to get discouraged and wander off, and they rallied. Your folks really rallied. So
I'm just proud of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. That's very cool.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah. Well, you know, like you guys, we're feeling and seeing a groundswell in many areas. Our nursery's busting at the seams. We're expecting more babies by the end of the year.
Oh, we
probably go to two services just because of that, right? And through Power Kids and that. And Joel, you mentioned this. It's awesome to see Jesus start to make sense in the life of a young adult. And it's galvanizing and moving and contagious and in so many ways. If I was going to kind of narrow it down to one story, there's a young man, I call him young man. He's 80 years old. He's part of our campus. He could throw a stone from his house or his farm, to our campus, but he's been a part of our community for the last couple years. And I've really gotten to know him in the last year, because he had come up to me. We were taking a missions trip and he's like, Matt, I feel God asking me to be a part of this trip, but I've never been out of Seville. So I need a passport. I need some of these things.
Wow.
Can you help me? Can you help me?
Wow.
And so we did, and he came on this trip with us. And through that trip and other conversations, what's been so special to watch is him talk about what God is doing and what he sees God doing. He's been following Jesus most of his life.
Yeah.
And so him seeing what is going on and talking about it with other people, it's not a pastor or one other leader talking about it. It's, hey, this is what I see God doing in our community.
Yeah.
And here is this wise older gentleman who has sacrificed in many ways and went outside of his comfort zone, leaving his farm, going you know, to another country, coming back, and he'll tell people, I've never felt this close to the Lord in all my life. I've never been a part of seeing God move in this way all my life. And our people are responding to, you know, and we got to see what Ken has, you know, to say. And so it's been through the youth. I don't want to discount any of that. It's exciting, and it's from young to old, right? But I think about how this young man, so to say, is still talking about how God is transforming his heart.
That's cool.
And for those that us that are younger than him can look at him and say, here as a man, and if God gives us the years that he's given him, maybe we'll get to be able to say that too.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you see the generational.
You see the generation. I mean, it's funny. You read the book of Acts and you watch the New Testament and you read about it and you're like, oh, it's kind of happening and in real time right here, right now. And it's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny.
It is a lot of fun to watch. We had an all staff, all campus meeting yesterday where we got all the campuses together celebrate. And it's fun to watch that very story happening across everybody's campus, mm-hmm. where the generations are giving to the next generation, giving the next generation. I think that's incredibly gospel centered and biblical. And there's just so many, like when you see that happen, you're like, yeah, this is how a movement continues and how a movement starts and how it flourishes. And so it's just cool to see that playing out very tangibly in stories.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I said it to Rick earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been up to all staffs before, but I feel like this one specifically, we're down the road a little bit,
yeah,
in what God has called us,
yeah,
to do.
Yeah.
So seeing the movement produce leaders and relationships, mm-hmm. and make the gospel go further, yeah, faster, huge. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, one of the things I think we celebrated over and over yesterday was so-and-so came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now his wife,
yeah, yep,
and his, right, kids, yeah, and his brother,
yeah,
and maybe,
yeah,
even his parents, or, you know, yeah, there, yeah, was multiple stories like that. And I think, I think about how Jesus told his disciples, he's like, you know, by your love for one another, mm-hmm. people are going to know that you're, yeah, my disciple. And there's something, like, love is an emotion, but there's something tangible and relational, yeah, that's happening, yeah, with somebody that's transformed and moved by the heart of and the love of Jesus.
Cool.
Yeah, it's so much,
it's
fun.
Cool.
So much fun.
Yeah, I love hearing those stories. It was great yesterday to hear all those stories. And yeah. So I got maybe two last questions. One last question, and then I don't want to know ways that which the people of Grace can pray for you guys. But maybe give us, how would you explain what you've learned sitting in this seat that you're sitting as the campus pastor of a Grace Church campus? What have you learned about the power of God to transform our human heart? Could you give us, deep in your heart, what have you learned? What have you seen that's caused you to understand that in a new and powerful way?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know that I'll have anything incredibly fancy or profound. I have a guy at our campus. His name is also Ken. Every campus has a Ken. He just tells me every time I see him, he just is like, it's all about Jesus, man.
Yeah.
It's just all about Jesus. And, you know, we'll joke, and me and my staff will joke, and we'll have fun with Ken, and I'll say, oh, it's all about Jesus. Yeah, it's all about Jesus. But he says that, and it reminds me that is what it's about.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when I'm watching stories play out, it is really easy for me to try to manufacture, control, or manipulate. And at the end of the day, it's just all about Jesus, his spirit moving in someone's life. And often he'll invite the community of God into that. Mm. So that the message of the gospel may transform their life. And when that happens, when there's just that is the starting place and the finishing place, you can see people start to connect in a unique way. We just had a young lady this fall. She said yes to Jesus and got baptized, and she had a friend lead her to Christ. And it was just cool to see how the very profound and simple, beautiful, and baffling story of the gospel just made sense because it was all about Jesus. And so, I don't know, there's probably way more profound things to say. But when I think about, at the end of the day, where's the power of the gospel transform hearts? When it is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And they get attached to that and they run into it.
Yeah.
And there's others around them that invite them into that. I think that is the story. And I think that's what Jesus did when he was on this earth. And so, yeah, for me, I'm like, I just, when Ken says it's all about Jesus, I'm like, that is right. Well, how do I keep that there? So I don't know if you guys would add anything to that.
We don't need Ken in our life. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you guys, Matt and David?
Go for it. Yeah. I don't know that I would echo anything different from what you mentioned, Joel. I think it's been my experience, just like you mentioned, to want to try to microwave things at times,
mm-hmm.
and And because God's allowed us to have certain experiences in our life, we're like, boy, if you could just see it, or if a heart would be softened. Mm. But when the Spirit moves and softens that heart, and this, we use a lot of farming metaphors out of County Line, right? Mm-hmm. When the soil's the right temperature and it's pliable, and it's like, we call it monkey dirt. You know, a monkey could literally sprinkle seeds on the ground and you'd get an abundant crop, right? Yeah. Because the soil's so rich. Huh. I think when that is the posture of someone's heart for the things of the Lord and the movement of Jesus's church, there's something that the Spirit does that we can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It will. I think it gets affirmed, and we see it, and we're like, yeah go, 100%. Right? We see God doing it too. Mm-hmm. But there's that moment, and it's fun to see, and it's awesome to be able to be a part of it and see it from this seat.
Yeah,
100%. Because it's contagious, and you're like, yeah. And that, that person or that family,
yes,
their lives are forever changed. Mm-hmm. And all they want to do is tell the next friend about it because they love them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Especially when it multiplies. And you see, it's so caught them. They're like, let's go to the next person.
Yeah.
Let's do it. What about you?
Oh, man, you guys took it all. I would say, no, I was thinking things like, you know, I think it's both more and less than we tend to think, right? Mm-hmm. It is everything, and at the same time, it is Jesus, right? And I think my first thought was like, I think I've learned it is about stewardship rather than like shouldering, like doing the work. It's like when it's happening, I'm like, God, help us as a church, help us as people steward that transformation and not put it out. You know, it is like a fire when it's just a little bit. You're like, I don't want to put this thing out. Yeah. But I also want to see what else I can bring around it to see if it catches too. So a little bit of that. And then I don't know why the metaphor of rowing is like, or sailing, I think it's, I don't know where it came from, but I think someone else said it. But like some seasons you're rowing.
Yep.
And sometimes there's wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think across our movement right now, we would say like, hey, there's wind. So let's put up the sail. Like you're saying, wherever it's going, we're going.
That's a fascinating illustration to use. The encouragement I've recently been struck by when it comes to like, how does the gospel change someone's life? I think sometimes it feels either like you want to microwave it, or it feels like it's not happening. You're like, it's not finishing. Like,
it's extremes.
It's two extremes.
Nothing's happening.
It just feels like nothing's in the middle. And I was reading 2 Peter 3, where it talks about the Lord, and we don't understand maybe time or patience like him, but he's waiting, giving time for people to be reconciled to him and to repent. And I think about this like dichotomy of patiently active, actively patient, in how when that happens, there's this like moments of rowing where you're like, okay, we're just gonna keep going. And then there's moments where the wind takes it and you're like, this is a beautiful thing. There's like light, you see life change, da, 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 and you can't manufacture those sides of things. And encouraging myself to just sit in that, encouraging people to sit in that, because I think sometimes we'd like to see things happen now, when in reality, I think God, in his mercy and grace, he knows the exact time. He knows when the soil is ready.
Do you know that? Have you heard that Hudson Taylor quote? The work of God has three parts?
I have, but I don't remember it.
First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. And I'm like, that is the truest thing about ministry work that I've heard in my life. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
It's possible. Beautiful.
Difficult. Done.
Done.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thanks, guys. That's a great answer to that question. And yeah, you're right. It's all about Jesus. And that's been my own personal experience in watching people grow and develop spiritually. If you don't stay connected, deeply connected to the vine, you just aren't going to produce any fruit. So yeah, thanks for that. How about a way in which people at Grace can be praying for you guys in your churches, your campuses?
Yeah. I think, go ahead. You go first this time.
Yeah. We're going to start at this end?
Yeah, let's go that way.
Yeah, I would just say this way he'd be praying for our campus, just for wisdom and discernment. So like you guys and many other campuses, we're feeling a swell in a great and good way. Our auditorium's full, our Power Kids, our nursery, and all those things that we would look at. And so we're talking about what it looks like to go to two, and what we need to do to do that, two services, and when, right? When that looks, or when we should make that move. So that and just that Jesus would continue to break our hearts for the things that break his.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect, man.
Yeah, it's good.
How about you, David?
I probably echo some of what you said. A lot of our campus story has been persevering through difficulty, and that's a different type of problem than how do we steward the growth. And so I would ask, as we think about second services, you know, praying for workers is something we've been doing, but that is so true.
Yeah.
And then also the wisdom and discernment to raise up and equip people to do the work of the ministry. So those two areas specifically for Town Center.
Yeah. All of that. I would add, we see a lot of cool things happening. We're always more workers, more people. But I would say, I look at the community we sit in, 90% of people are currently not connected to a gospel-centered church.
Yeah.
65% being completely unreligious or disconnected, right? And so I keep this balance of like, okay, God, what do you want us to do here? It's incredibly exciting, celebrate. And I'm like, there are still thousands of people in our direct community and beyond. And so just praying for, wisdom and discernment on that, but also praying for people in our community who are lost, and that they would be found by That's Jesus. Awesome. And so we're in a season where we're really praying hard about that.
Wow. Well, that's cool. Well, yeah. Well, we will definitely be praying for those things. In fact, we hold a monthly prayer meeting by Zoom. Yeah, yeah. We call it the 30 and 30 call to prayer, and the ways to connect to that will be in the show notes, so anybody listening can can check that out and be part of that. And you know, I just feel this deep conviction. So my role at Grace is obviously focused on 30 and 30 and where God has taken us as a movement, and helping to shepherd that alongside you all, the campus pastors, and Jeff and the other leaders of the movement. But just in my role, I have this deep conviction that that I need to foster a prayerfulness amongst our movement and amongst the people of Grace Church. So I'm just convinced that we need to bring this movement before the Lord and ask Him to bless it and protect it, guide it, and just anoint every part of what we're doing. Because if we don't have His anointing, it's useless to even lift a finger to try and do this kind of work. So,
I couldn't agree more.
Can I put in a shameful plug?
Sure.
Just, it's very rare that I would have the ear of our people.
Okay.
Right? If anyone is moving south to Atlanta.
There we go.
Or if you have family in Atlanta and you love Grace Church and the mission of Grace, we would welcome you with open arms.
Connect to the Town Center
Come
campus.
Find me.
In Kennesaw.
That's right. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Perfect.
Thank you. And thank you for what you do, man.
Yeah.
The people of Grace Church benefit from the hard work that you put into making things happen behind the scenes, 30 and 30, the campuses, the prayer movement.
Yeah.
So thank you for following the Spirit of God and leading the community of God into the mission of God. You do a great work. So we're beneficiaries of it. And so it's been fun.
Angling us is not
No, but it's a blast. It's a blast. Yeah, well, thanks very much, everybody.